The scripture reading this morning is taken from the Old and New Testament. The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 30 through 31. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Our other scripture reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. This ends the scripture readings.
Yesterday was just such a Holy Spirit-filled day for me. Again, to bear witness to the saints at Glenmore, putting up buildings and blessing people who need hope works. And I say witness because I did really none of the hard work. And I'm just so grateful to see that. It is a sign and a wonder. It's also a sign and a wonder to see what the saints are up to in the world. And so yesterday I also got to watch some of our youth play basketball and play percussion in the band. And it was just such a reminder, if I needed one, of how we are all called to be saints wherever we are. I'm so grateful to be the pastor of a church like this one. As I was safely watching from afar as buildings went up outside, because you don't want me around anything like that, I was reminded that God's story of interacting with the world, God's inbreaking into the world at Christmas, is really one about lifting up that which the world does not value and bringing down those idols that we're so tempted to worship. Consider what God did. A God who sits high and looks low was not content to remain far off, but reached down and was made flesh in a lowly carpenter's child born in a stable. And that child, Jesus, models a ministry where he humbles himself, taking the form of a servant, even unto death on the cross. And for that reason, he will be highly exalted and lifted up, and given the name that is above every name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I was reminded about Mary's experience of God. How when God reached out to her, she named it as favor and blessing. She named that action as lifting up the lowly. She named that action as food for the hungry. A lifting up of those under the boot of oppression, and bringing down the high and mighties, the proud, the oppressor. What God did made a song rise up in her throat. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and he's brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things, she sang, and sent the rich empty away. God has this way of lifting up and exalting things and people that the world does not often value, and reducing to nothing the things that we would worship instead of God. God lifts up and rescues people in trouble. God lifts up the least, the last, the lost, and the left out. And Jesus, God's Son, was lifted up on the cross as a way for the powers that be to triumph over him. But instead, Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all people to myself." In Jesus, we have a Savior who lifts us up out of the miry clay, out of the raging sea of sin and death, so we can sing with the hymn-writing saints, "Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help." All right, saints. And if you know what it is for love to lift you, if you have been loved like that, you learn. It means we are called to live in a certain way. God seems to be particularly pleased with a life characterized by things that the world doesn't value. Things like faithfulness, things like service, things like humility. And to do those things over the long haul of living. Isaiah says, God says through Isaiah, "Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength and be lifted up like eagles." Those who stick it out. Eugene Peterson describes discipleship as a long obedience in the same direction. Man, do I like that. A long obedience in the same direction. Through every season, through every pastoral transition, through every generation, through every cycle of the Christian year, a long obedience in the same direction. A pilgrimage of walking slowly and steadily, but sometimes in fits and starts, falling down, but getting up. That's the process of sainthood. That's John Wesley's journey of faith that we're all on. As we celebrate our saints today, I think they have some important things to teach us about the things that really matter at the end of the day. And these things, I believe, are not material things. I think they would tell us that the things that truly matter look like faithfulness. Faith that we apply in our living and in our loving. Faith that is reflected in the things and people we love and how we spend the time God has given us, not knowing the day or the hour, not knowing how long that will be. How we spend the resources God has given us. How we use what power we have. Do we use it to push other people down, back into the miry clay? Or do we lift people up? The things that truly matter look like hope that is rooted in God and love, the love that Jesus has shown us and the love that we're called to show others. All Saints Sunday, most especially, is a reminder that we are not alone. We're not. We don't work and wait for the Lord alone. We aren't alone in our countercultural vision of the world where we proclaim peacemakers and the poor are blessed and the meek inherit the earth, and that which unites us is greater than that which divides us. We're not alone in that. When we gather at the communion table, we're joined with that great cloud of witnesses gone before. People who taught us the faith. People whose names maybe are in history books as having been famous or martyred for what they believe about God. You know, people like Oscar Romero, Felicity and Perpetua, Bonhoeffer, St. Stephen, but also people whose names are in no history books but our hearts. People who gave sacrificially of themselves in other ways through their prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. To be surrounded by these saints is an encouragement, but there's also an accountability, right? That we are called to go and be as they have been in this world. We are all called to be saints, called to grow in the faith, called to grow into Christ's likeness. That means that we ought to be more loving and more generous and more forgiving than we were last year. Or in the spirit of the election cycle, more loving, more giving, more forgiving than we were 4 years ago. By the way, I've been here about 4 years, so there's a marker. Saints are not just people who lived long ago and wore burlap and were eaten by lions. Saints are people who choose faithfulness. They choose perseverance. They choose worship and service and giving when it would be so easy to do other things and to choose other things. Saints are not perfect people. They're people who forgive and love and make mistakes and stumble and fall and get back up. They stick with it through incredibly hard times, through addiction and faults and failures. They fall down and they get back up again. They are lifted up again by a God that has loved them all their life. And if someone were to say to you, "You have been a saint for me. You are one of the saints for me," I bet you would protest. One marker of sainthood is you don't think you are one, as it turns out. But if you are here today, if you're joining us online, no matter how you got here, no matter who you're planning to vote for on Tuesday, and I hope you are going to vote, no matter how much or how little you know about the church or the Bible, you are called to be on a path of growth and change into the likeness of Christ. People will come to know Christ because of you and me, or they will not. People will be filled with the love of Christ through you and me, or they will not. Saints will tell you, it's not about being perfect. If we said, "Oh, you're so perfect," wouldn't they laugh at us? It's not about being perfect, the saints will tell you. It's about being committed. It's about not giving up. And the things we do, coming to worship, praying, studying together, serving and giving, this is a way for us to say, "I'm on that pathway too. My life is oriented around what God has done in Jesus Christ. It's important to me." We may say, "I may not know everything right now. I may not even believe everything." But there's something about that church on the hill. There's something about it with their green chairs and their basketball stripes on the floor. There's something about it that feeds me, that speaks to me, that calls me to be that which God wants me to be. That's our testimony, right? It is working and waiting for the Lord. It is lifting and being lifted. So as we share communion together, we form a link in a long chain of saints, linking us to one another and our mothers and our fathers and our grandmothers and our grandfathers all the way back to the early Christians and those pesky prophets of the Hebrew Bible. They're in there too, setting their plumb line, proclaiming the day of the Lord. And this chain will go on long after we are gone from this world. Just like we're called to watch for what God is up to in this world, I think today is a way of saying we too are being watched. Watch to see if we're able to step out in faith, to make another choice, even when it goes against what the world's vision would be. Watch to see if we'll speak out against oppression and fear and injustice. Watch to see if we have enough faith to go to another funeral or spend another Thanksgiving with you know who. Watch to see if we'll be the ones that point to what God is doing in the world by working for peace and being the church together. Watch to see how we will choose to spend our time and our money and our gifts. So if you don't see yourself as one beloved by God and called to live for Christ and His purposes, I'm so sorry you came here today. You're in the wrong place. You are beloved. You are called. I'm warning you that God does all kinds of miracles for and with and through people who did nothing but show up. My dad used to say about law school that the hardest part is showing up. He also said that in life, the victory is won, not on the glamorous plays, but in the blocking and the tackling. That's football talk for a long obedience in the same direction, blocking and tackling. Perhaps the same is true of the church, that gathering of similarly odd people who gather with the saints gone before and the saints that are here now to sing and pray and look at life's universe the way God sees it in Christ. Broken, redeemed, lifted, loved, and triumphant. We are not alone. We're surrounded by the worshiping saints today. Maybe they're saying to us, come on, honey, yes, you can. You can love, you can give, you can pray, you can grow. You can make a difference in this world in ways that you cannot see now because God wants to use you to bless somebody, just like I blessed you. Saints lift us up, dust us off, and set us back on the road to follow them in a long obedience in the same direction. Lifting and being lifted and knowing that we're not alone. That God is with us in this world and the next. So we don't need to aim for business as usual. We don't have to love just the people who love us. We don't have to give just a little of ourselves to this God who loves us so much. Let's lift up our eyes to the hills from whence cometh our help. And let's be saints. Amen.